The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Once again, I need to thank our pastor, also my spouse, for giving me the opportunity to preach. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. So she didn't really have much of a choice. But let us begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do not be afraid. That's the point. Of course, we can interpret words like that in a variety of ways. When the old actor in horror films, Bela Lugosi, remember him, says it, "Don't be frightened." It has the very opposite effect. And if an angry parent grabs a terrified child's shoulders and shakes them and screams, "Stop being afraid," well, that'll make matters even worse, right? But here the words come from neither an actor nor an out-of-control parent, but from the lips of Jesus, and they do not come without explanation. Because here he says, "Take heart, it is I. Therefore, you need not be afraid." But the facts are, we are afraid. As someone who lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis 55 years ago, this week's headlines evoked all of those old fears of being, now 60 years ago, in Washington, D.C. as a school child and diving under our desks in case of a nuclear attack. Some of you are old enough to remember those days. And if we have fears about our nation, whether military, economic, or social, and the papers are full of them this week, the airwaves. But we also have fears as individuals. You know this, that haunting call, phone call in the middle of the night, or sitting in the doctor's office waiting for that inevitable bad news. Or even to lighten things up at least a little bit, driving on the New Jersey Turnpike. That's a fearful experience. And even here in church, with things like falling attendance or failing interest or absent children or grandchildren that can break our hearts and cause us to fear. With three baptisms today, it brought to my mind all kinds of fears for our children and grandchildren. What should be a happy event, the first night that babies sleep through the night, also has fear attached to it. Those of us who had children remember rushing into the nursery, seeing if they're still breathing. See, there are fears all around. But even our children harbor certain fears. When I was a pastor in Wisconsin in the 1980s, I used to ask confirmants, eighth graders, to write down all the things they were afraid of. And in those days, inevitably, at the top of the list were two things. Atomic warfare. I suspect today it would be terror attacks. And the death of a parent. We are afraid. So that when we hear of the disciples being terrified of a ghost and crying out in fear, we know what they're thinking and how they're feeling. We are truly all in the same boat. But Jesus spoke to them immediately. This is interesting. I mean, after all, he's the one who made them get into the boat in the first place. That's the first verse of this text. Surely someone who can walk on water can predict the weather so that he must have known they were going to have a hard time getting across the lake. When Martin Luther preached on this text 500 years ago, he even pointed out this fact. But whatever Jesus' connection is to their fear, as soon as he perceives that fear, he speaks to them immediately. Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid. And Jesus speaks the same words to us in our fears. This one we call Emmanuel, God with us, who promises where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. The one who at the end of Matthew's gospel says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This one is here. Not just when things are going well, but especially when they aren't. When we're full of fear in our little boats, rowing with all our might against the wind. Even in the little boat of our nation, or of the church, or of our own family, when we all seem so far from land. He is here. In the waters of baptism, saying to these three little ones and to their loved ones, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And at this meal, where he promises that as close as the bread gets to your teeth and the wine to your lips, so close does he come to calm our quaking fears. "It is I, my body and my blood for you, so do not be afraid." But not just here, but every day of our lives, in our community and in our family, and even or maybe even especially when we are alone. That's what he has to say to us today. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then there's Peter. Peter is not so sure. And in this, really, he's no worse than we are. Of course, the pastor, with her beautiful feet, did you notice the second lesson, rolls comforting words off her lips every Sunday. But on certain days, we want more. We need more. So not only are we like the frightened disciples, we're like St. Peter. Somehow all of us hail from Missouri, the show-me state. If you are here, if it's you, then let me walk on water too. And despite all those jokes about knowing where the rocks are, This is about putting God to the test. And so Matthew is saying to us, well, good luck with that. Out jumps Peter, and his assurance from this private miracle only lasts two steps or so, perhaps even less. However long it took him to take his eyes off of Jesus and to hear the wind, and perhaps by then he's looking down and seeing the waves lapping at his feet. But it's no difference with us. I suspect that many of us here today could recount a private moment when we say, there but by the grace of God go I. And for a moment, we think and thank God for some private miracle, some close call. But how long does that last? Probably only one or two steps out onto the sea before the wind and the waves cause us to sink, to lose our focus on Jesus, and our certainty melts, and we sink like a rock. Peter, the rock, right along with him. And that's what happened to Peter. It's the same story all over again. He became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Ah, there it is. Did you hear that? Do you see the difference? Jesus calls fearful Peter as he gets him back into the boat and to safety, you of little faith. Literally in the Greek, oh, you mini believer. But for Peter, his little faith shows up not in his sinking, everybody sinks, but in his demand for a sign. Lord, if it's you, prove it. But notice that Jesus doesn't call him or us a non-believer, an unbeliever, but a mini-believer. By the way, I can't help but stop here and just warn the parents. You know, the ones that cry before their baptism, they usually become preachers. So, okay, where was I? There. Okay. I paid her to say that. Or him. I don't know which. Her. It is a her. Okay. Yes. So for Peter, little faith shows up not in his sinking, but in his demand for a sign. Lord, if it's you. But notice Jesus calls him not an unbeliever, but a mini-believer. And here's the thing. We often think that faith and doubt are opposites. But in the disciples and in us, they go hand in hand. The true Christian believer is a mini-believer, is full of doubts. Peter tests Jesus instead of believing in him. But then as he sinks, his faith shouts, Lord, save me. Do you see? That's where we are too. Demanding signs out of our unbelief, we all do it at one time or another, and yet crying out to God, God, save me. Lord, save me. Now, you see, we may think that when we demand a sign, we have strong faith, and when we cry out for help, we have none, but really it's the other way around. But Jesus shows us here that his mercy does not depend upon us or the strength of our faith, but rather upon our helplessness. So the text says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. There's that word immediately again. Think of how quickly Jesus does that for us when we feel we are drowning in our fears. He reaches out his hand and catches us. Not just at the moment of death, but certainly then, but during all of our fears, especially here at this table. When we hear the body of Christ for you, the blood of Christ for your salvation, then here too, Jesus reaches out his hand and grabs us. Just as in baptism, he walks on that water in that font and reaches out his hand to those little ones and to us and puts us in the ship we call the church. Every time that happens, What can we do but drop to our knees and confess with the amazed disciples, truly, you are the Son of God? I mean, why would we recite the creed after every sermon except because we have Christ's comfort? It is I. Why do we recite it at baptisms except to remind each other that, like the newly baptized, we are in the same boat with those first disciples, rescued yet again from our fears and doubts, and confessing with those many believers, truly, you are God's only Son, our Lord. You know, my mother knew all about this. At her wedding, back in 1940, the pastor recited a familiar hymn and told my parents that day that this was to be their life's song. And it remained that for the next 60 years. So, my fellow many believers, make that song your prayer too. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous seas. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.